best mix on your radio.
Presenting the one, the only,
The Dirk Side on Mix 93, WKMJ FM, Hancock.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen, just after 9 on a Tuesday morning, and we called up Mr. Joe Sean, the head coach of the Huskies, and said, Joe, we really like to talk some Huskies hockey on Tuesday, and he said, absolutely, and here he is with us today. It's nice to see you, Joe. How you doing, buddy?
Good to see you too, Dirk.
Man, I can't wait to talk about the game of hockey and the team. It's been about a month since we've had you on last, and there's so much that's been going on, hey?
I mean, yeah, and the playoffs are great to watch every night.
How many overtimes are we going to get?
Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. It's the best time, non-season time for us.
Yeah.
To end our season and get into this is absolutely incredible.
It is cool. I mean, there are some really good series going on. Are you a little surprised at Edmonton out?
No, because what I'm seeing in the playoffs is that the structure is really the teams that are playing with structure are having the most success. You've seen Carolina's brought their game to another level this year. Last year they were good with their structure. Same thing with the Islanders. They're up 3-2 now on Pittsburgh. They have great structure to their game. The one that's surprising me a little bit is in the series I've watched, and it'll be interesting to watch. I think that Florida, every game I've seen, Florida's outplayed Tampa. Tampa goes into with a 3-1 lead last night. Florida's playing as a strong unit. Tampa seems to be relying a little bit more on their talent level, and they made a goalie change, played their third goalie last night, Spencer Knight, played
that,
this
eh?
Year at Boston College, played in the World Juniors for USA, won a gold. They put him in the third goalie. I don't know if there's ever been a playoff series where a team has played three goalies. That'd be a good trivia question, because I don't know if it has, but they played their third goalie, and he was phenomenal last night, 21 saves in the first period. And they beat Tampa, and that could make that young man's career.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, you're probably too young, Dirk, but when Cornell had a goaltender by the name of Ken Dryden, Montreal picked him up after his season was over, senior year, played in the playoffs, won the Conn Smythe for the playoff MVP.
Right.
Montreal won the Stanley Cup, and the rest is history. You can make your name, you know, as a young guy coming in like that. They get through and advance. Spencer Knight will have a bright future potentially ahead of him.
And especially a goaltender, right? Can pop
incredible.
Just like that.
Well, they're the most notable. I mean, it's right. a guy can go in like a Caulfield or something like that and have a good game here and there, but they're not going to usually carry a team. A goaltender can be viewed as being the difference, whether they are or they aren't. They can be viewed as being the difference because they're different, you know, a little bit. They're a little more special than everybody else's goaltenders. You know that.
I wanted to get your thoughts on the big hit. I know, like Montreal and Toronto series resumes again tonight.
I didn't see an issue.
Oh no, but I just want. I mean, did it like? I mean, was it tough for you to watch it? It was for me.
Well, it wasn't tough for me to watch a hit. You have to almost look away when you. Over and over see the after effects when you see Tavares trying to get his bearings, he's falling backwards on his knees and that's hard to watch. It's always hard to watch that. But the hit itself was
totally accidental.
Yeah. It was a clean hit to start with. Tavares was pulling up to avoid a head-on collision and then was it Perry? Perry was coming and tried to jump over.
He did. He lifted his knee up.
I had to watch it several times because I didn't see it live. And I even had to watch it like three or four times and say, I don't see how he got hit. And then you see Perry, you know, come in after the fact when he's already going to the ice. And it was looked like a knee to head on that, trying to jump out of the way. So, accidental. Totally accidental.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it is hard to watch anybody struggling like that. We used to see that more in the day where guys with blindside hits and things like that. I mean, it used to be actually viewed in a bravado, like when you'd see Stevens line up guys and, you know, can he knock somebody out? You know, Niedermeyer would force a guy. Niedermeyer was his partner, would play on the wall, force a guy to come off the wall to the middle, and then Stevens would time it, come across and lower the shoulder in him and put him into next week, you know, so... and then you'd watch him and be like, yeah, he's out. Yeah. Now you watch those things and, you know, times have changed and you say, I can't really watch that.
Yeah. So Toronto leading that series 2-1. Game 4 is tonight. What are your thoughts? Who should come out on top?
You know, Toronto, because I think Sheldon Keith does a really good job. Again, I think that structure that allows for offense is showing to be the equalizer. Now, if you have some structure and you have – the skill level, then you know you're a hard team to beat. But it shows to me, like I'm looking at some teams. There's a change of the guard. Vegas looks good. Well, you saw Edmonton. Edmonton is relying totally on. They seem to be relying on McDavid and those guys, and those guys weren't able to get it done. And Winnipeg took them. You know, they eliminated them last night. So I think it'd be interesting. But I would say Toronto because I think Sheldon Keith does a really good job at every level. Has won at every level that he's been at.
Well, let's jump into the schedule, Coach, that was just released, the new Michigan Tech hockey schedule for the first season of the new CCHA. And I know you're excited about it. I'm excited about it. Our first four games or something like that are non-conference, and I think the first three are Big Ten. It's really really an exciting start, the beginning to the season.
Yeah, well, I like our schedule. I think we've done a pretty good job with that. We were able to work it out with Tony Granato to get that early season series in Wisconsin, which is fine because in a couple of years they're coming back here. Not next year, but the year after they'll come back here to Houghton, and we'll make a decision. Administration will make a decision whether they want to try to play that game. Maybe we've been trying to find a way to get a game at the Resch Center for a lot of different reasons. There's a good fan base for us down there. It's a fairly close little travel where people can go. Right now the agreement is they come back up here, but we'll see what happens with that, how we play that one out. And then the next weekend we have Notre Dame coming in. They owed a game here, and so they're coming up to play a game. They also owed a game to Northern Michigan, so they're going to play the first night here on, I believe, the 15th. We're going to play them here, and Northern's going to play the development program, and then they're going to flip-flop. We're going to play the national team the second night, and Notre Dame will go to Northern Michigan. So that'll be a good series. Looking forward to that. We have the Clarkson series. We're going there this year, and then we are looking at we're getting closer and closer to moving into that Clarkson, St. Lawrence, Northern Michigan, Michigan Tech deal where we'll go out there, and because they're 5 minutes apart.
Right.
It'd be like Houghton and Hancock. You know, you play one night in Houghton against Michigan Tech, and you play the next night against the School of the Mind. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we'll go out there and we'll play each of them one night, and they'll come here and they'll play Northern one night and Michigan Tech one night. So we're getting closer to that. But this year we'll go to Clarkson. And then next year their schedules come back here, and we'll see if we can kick that series in and change that up a little bit and get that series worked out. I always like playing different teams. I think our fans like playing different teams. I just think it adds a lot. It adds to your pairwise opportunities nationally, and it gives your team, especially non-conference, your base, a chance to see different opponents, which I think is good. And then we have Clarkson, and we have obviously the GLI. So we have a lot of things working in there, and then we have league play. Now, the one odd thing in league play, I wasn't completely for it. It's something that the Minnesota schools have been trying to get for a long time, which was getting only a 26-game or 24-game is what they wanted, league schedule. So we have an imbalanced schedule. To some degree, we have 26 league games. So one team we won't play against each year in a home and home. And this year it's Bowling Green. So we'll only have them twice. I believe it's at Tech. But so it'll be Bowling Green.
Which is Winter Carnival weekend.
Which is Winter Carnival weekend. That's right. So we have, and I don't know why with an 8-team league, we don't play a balanced schedule. Other than other teams have the ability to schedule different games and get other teams, and they want to play more non-conference than conference. So they're using the Big Ten as a model. They're using the NCHC, who has an 8-team league and does that, plays a 26 or 24-game schedule. So they use that as the argument, and it passed. So we'll go with that. And then, but I like the schedule. I love our team. I love our team this year. I think everybody's going to be excited about our team. I loved our team last year. We had some holes that we had to fill in some areas. I think we've done a pretty good job in addressing those areas. I'm so proud of our guys for the excitement, the hard work, and everything they're showing. They feel that we have a chance to really make a step this year, working hard at doing that. And so I think we're going to have a really good hockey team this year.
Well, and going back to the playing different teams and playing, you know, one game and then, you know, another close team playing another game against them. I agree. The fans want it. I think it's fresh. It keeps it fresh for the kids, for the players, for the coaches, for the broadcasters. You know, I think it's a really good thing. Do you see more of that coming down the road?
Well, we're going to try it. You know, we've tried it in a couple different capacities. What we have to get is Northern Michigan to work with us on it. They're the logical ones, because other than that, if you do it, you have to have a team come in. Like, if we were to do it with Lake State, you'd have to have a team come in on really on Thursday, and we'd have to give a day in between for the 5 and 5 hour trip back and forth, a travel day in between, which makes it harder. That means somebody's traveling on a Tuesday, possibly a Tuesday night to play on a, you know, have a practice day Wednesday or, you know, because it, also the airport structure isn't always conducive to doing that as well. Now, on the good side of it is most of that non-conference stuff is at a point of the year where it's early enough that weather isn't an issue. But even us, we have a hard time getting out of here with our with our equipment, you know, with our getting a plane in it, and even now more so. We used to be able to, you know, Suzanne was busting me up a little bit this week because I'm asking for a trip, you know, for Clarkson. Can they send a bigger plane? Like Brian Brewster used to call and they'd send, okay, we'll get a bigger plane. Give us enough notice. We'll send a bigger plane and we'll get your equipment out of here. Now it's, you know, Suzanne called me last week and she said, this is United Airlines calling and I understand you'd like us to send us a bigger plane. What size would you want? You want 747? Would you like dining services? You know, she's like, what are you trying to do here? You think they're going to accommodate Michigan Tech? Well, they used to, you know, but, it gets hard. So we have to consider that stuff into it as well. It might be a little easier to fly into Marquette and then fly in and out of Marquette for those teams. We'll look to maybe charter with Marquette, possibly with Northern Michigan when we do it, head out east and share in the expenses of a plane and things like that. And so whatever makes it work.
We've got a lot to talk about, and we'll get to your questions in just a little bit. Welcome back to a Michigan Tech Hockey Update with Head Coach Joe Schoen here on Mix 93 WKMJ. And, Coach, I know you and I have been talking off the air a little bit about the horrible fire up in Calumet. That was a tough thing to watch on social media. And, of course, all our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody that was involved with that.
Yeah, it was extremely difficult to watch. And Laura was keeping me on track and up to date on that and what was going on, you know. The one thing we do know is out of those things that happen in this community, the community rallies and pulls together, and they'll do that. They'll do so on this. My understanding is that injuries were to a minimal anyways, but it's devastating. You know, you look back at the flood and you look back at the things, and the one thing you can say is that this community always pulls together and they will support, we'll all support the restructuring, what needs to go on there to help Calumet get through that.
Coach, the official launching of the CCHA and the website has come and gone, and people are getting excited about that. There are some definite changes with this league than what we've been used to in recent years, and it seems to point all in a very good direction right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on within the league. I would like to say also, I want to say hi to Mo and Zeba and those guys, and the guys at the golf course.
Right,
a lot of guys around here spend a lot of time at the golf course and how they keep that thing up and going and the activity that gets. So hi to Mo, Zeba, and everybody at the golf course. But you're seeing already right now, I don't want to disrespect or disregard anybody, but the emphasis on the direction that the athletic directors and administration wanted to go with keeping up with being able to excel the level of hockey in all aspects within a new league, with the forming of the new league. And that was the real reason that they did it, to be able to upgrade, to force an advancement, you know, to force everybody to get on the same page and move ahead instead of catering and trying to support the other side of it. So that does sound a little bit callous and things, and I guess it is in some ways, but that's what I get in the talks that I had heard. We didn't have an issue. I never heard Suzanne or anybody ever have an issue with traveling to Alaska's, traveling to Huntsville. I never heard anything about that. It was more about the operation of the league and the accountability structure within the league that wanted to be upgraded, and some were doing it and some weren't doing it to the degree that the majority felt it needed to be done. You're already seeing the build up to the launch of the new league. You know, John Scott was on there. Several people were on there. I think George McPhee was on there. Mm-hmm. There, you know, every program had somebody that was representing them. They had a day for everyone to build up to the launch. And then the launch, the new website is awesome. The mobile app, which we never had, is awesome. I can tell you one thing that Commissioner Don Lucia will not, knowing him for, I don't know, 25, 30 years, will not want to be part of something second rate. He'll hold true that he was hired for a reason. He's a driven individual. He wanted to be the best coach with the best program when he was involved in as a coach, and he'll want to be the best commissioner with the best league as a commissioner. So we can look for good things. We can look for the standard to rise, and I think that's needed, especially in this free agent time of college hockey.
And I think a lot of the people are, without getting into it too much, they're going to notice a lot of big improvements when it comes to getting the game out there, whether it be on stream or on TV or whatever. You're going to see improvements there.
Yeah, I don't know how the whole flow hockey situation works out, but I do know that from within the league, within the meetings we've had, within the discussions we've had, the infrastructure portion of it is to upgrade, is to allocate multiple angles to you know, incorporate replace structures in it, to be able to have the lighting things within the league, things like that, that allow for television opportunities, because that's where it's at now, and selling out, you know, television advertising and things like that, to be able to put that type of a thing on flow hockey, and then if when time comes for league play or however it goes, game of the week or however it evolves, that it'll be in that type of a format. I know one thing right now that we've talked about that may interest you, and something I don't know if it's possible or not, but I said that I'll try to push behind the scenes in some capacity, is to have a way, I know you can do it in flow hockey, but have a way that people can listen to you and be synced to you and not just the home broadcast. So that if you're a Michigan Tech fan and you're listening to Bowling Green, and this isn't done yet, but it's something that I'm going to try to see how it can evolve, because I've had a lot of comments on that, is to be able to listen to you and say, okay, do you want the home team or you want the away team? On the voiceover, mm-hmm. You want that broadcast. And I think that's something that's important. I don't know how you feel about that. We didn't talk about this off the air, but people want to listen to you. They've even come up with ways to try to delay the feed and things so that they can sync mm-hmm. what you're doing with the video on it. So those types of things, you know, having a lighting base, a minimum basis for lighting and facilities as you're redoing your lighting to go up to this level, lumens, I guess they rated in, I think, so that it has the right look, to make sure the nets are clean, that you're using game nets that are painted, the netting's white, the boards are white, you know, so that every picture that's taken in a rink has a standard to it. So there's a lot more that's going into the league right now, a lot of discussions that are being driven in the league right now to just enhance the product, and I think that's a really good thing.
All right, we've got a lot to cover here, so let's get to a couple questions really quick. And you kind of already touched on this, Coach. This question coming in, when talking about the decision to form the new CCHA, you mentioned that at least part of it had to do with focusing on schools that were committed to their facilities. First question is, are any upgrades planned for the MAC?
Well, I think we just addressed that a little bit. So some of the, you know, infrastructure stuff, and as you move ahead, there'll be standards. I think that what I was probably talking about more with that, in total honesty, was that programs seem to be going the other way a little bit. So when we were talking about infrastructure stuff, it was going from, like, when Anchorage was going from their big arena, the Sullivan Arena, to an on-ice 700-seat arena on campus. Mm-hmm. The talk of Fairbanks potentially going from the Carlson Center, doing the same thing, going to the Patty Center, which is an on-ice facility with, you know, with maybe 800, 900 seats in it. I don't know what exactly their seating is. The Huntsville not having having a standard there with the overhead, with the things that they needed to have in place that everybody else was having in place, and them having not the option to do that because they didn't own the rink, and not being able to upgrade, and constantly being told, make this a standard within the league because that's the only way we're going to get this to be done. It was more those types of things. So I think that was more of my comments on that, was that facilities seem to be going the other way versus upgrading.
How many freshmen and players from the transfer portal will be coming in the fall of 2021?
You know, I don't know the exact number. I know off the transfer portal we picked up three. We picked up and we needed to address our needs. So that's all we looked for in the portal, was addressing our needs. We have a shortage, and in a lot of ways, but primarily production at the center ice position. if you notice, and you know, I had a comment made by an individual this year on a, in an email that was right. He, when I watch the NHL, I see all the play coming from the middle of the ice. And when I watch Michigan Tech, so much comes from the outside. Maybe that's something. Not that I know your business, Joe, but and it's actually a very a legit point, because we had this year, we were looking for guys that we could move to center. And if you look at our top centerman production wise, was a freshman. We recruited a true freshman. You know, I remember sending Chris to Sweden to look at Arvid Katteroth. He thought he was okay, and I said, "We're taking him regardless. We're taking him because." We needed to upgrade that position. He filled the roles we needed. We felt that he was something that we could work with. Well, he ended up getting 16 points a second half, being an all-league, all-rookie player. Could have gotten a rookie of the year, 18 points. But he was our only really, well, not our only true center, but the most productive centerman we had. Logan Piatla went a little bit backwards this year in point production. He'll jump back and do really well for us this year. We were looking for him to play with Bliss and Paratino, and it wasn't happening, so we moved Misiak into that position. But it, our wings were our strength for the most part. You know, Bretzman, Bliss, Paratino, go on down the line. Our wings were our strength. That's where our points, Hallinen, where our points came from. And if we have a 20, 25-point guy at center with Bliss and Paratino, Bliss is 40 points. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's a guy like that that can play with them. So we had to address that. We went out and we picked up a BU transfer to start with, Matt Quercia, that'll help us there. He's a big 6'2", 6'3", forward that skates well, plays with aggressiveness, probably more in the role of a coil or something like that in the NHL type, a stall type of a role. But it was a start for us. Then we added, losing Rockwell, losing Watson. We're weak already on the left side. We already played four right D last year. So Russell coming in as a right D. So we went in and we have Doctor coming in, a freshman on the left side that we'll see. He's a good offensive player, but we don't want him to have that immediate pressure on him. I think we're past that, where we have to rely on freshmen. But we went out and got Michael Carroll from Boston College, an alternate captain from Boston College, a left-hand D, size strength that can end cycles, which is always important to us, that can hold lines and can make a play with the puck. So we brought him in. And then with the folding of Huntsville, I immediately got a call from their staff saying, "Joe, this guy's a perfect fit for you. Know what you need." Westy said he'd be a great guy. "I'm calling you before the portal even opens up." We didn't do anything to talk to him before that. We waited till we made sure we watched our P's and Q's on that. And then we got into Tyrone Bronte, an all-league. We liked him as a player. We really liked him when we played against him this year. And he's a skill type forward that played for a guy that I coached in juniors back in Ryan Kisecki back in the midget days. And so we were able to add another centerman at that position to add depth to that. I felt it was important to do that because I think we have a team, honestly, this year that should be in the hunt. Everything to me in my experience says that we should be on the hunt. Just like I did 2 years ago, I said we're going to be a better team than people feel we're going to be, in my opinion, and we were. At the end of the year, we were. You know, we went in, swept Northern in the playoffs. We were ready to go play Mankato that year. And I remember getting a note from Darcy Way saying, "Joe, I wouldn't get too far ahead of yourself with the alumni and things." And I said, "Darcy, I feel we're that good. We're going to be that good," and we were. I feel this year we have a team that should compete for the championship. We have goaltending. We have what we need in defense. We have what we need at the forward position. So now it's, you know, we have to do our job as coaches.
Got to take a break, but really quick. Penguins did have three playoff goalies back in 2016, according to Dave. Marc-Andre Fleury, Matt McMurray, and Jeff Zadkoff, I think is how you pronounce
it. Yeah, Miami, played at Miami. Yep, he was a Victory
right.
Honda player.
That's right. Yeah. So, all right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more in just a little bit here on Mix 93. Welcome back to a Michigan Tech Hockey Update here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Next question for you, Coach. With the new transfer stuff going on with the portal, is character stressed more than the program within the program when recruiting? Just so a player that doesn't want to transfer when he's faced with their first dose of adversity?
I can talk about hockey. I can talk about football. I don't know anything about basketball, how that dynamic works. But within hockey, there's been a lot of teams that have won championships, including this year, UMass. Duluth back to back prior to that, Division II school. St. Cloud competing well, Division II school. Union winning, a non-traditional big-time hockey program, winning a national championship. Providence, a non-traditional big-time hockey program, winning a national championship. Those are the guys that win at this level. They win because of what you just said, because they get a dynamic where they go in there, they develop their players, players get better, they do an exceptional job recruiting, and they build a team. And the other team's complaints have always been, as you saw, there was some legislation to change the recruiting age of players back, you know, just a few years ago. It's always been that they get all these good players, but they don't play 4 years. They turn pro. So they're always, it's not fair to play older teams with, they're always having to play with young guys, but we have to take those good guys because if we don't, somebody else will take them. And well, now this has just opened up, giving them the best of everything. So now they get this good young talent. If some of it turns pro, some of it doesn't, and then they can take players from other programs. In whichever fashion they take players from other programs. It's unhealthy. And it's unhealthy when you look at so many things within hockey. College hockey is, players in college hockey are exploding as far as percentages. Europeans in college, and you know, there's a lot of college players that are now impacting at the professional level. Going in right away, Caulfield, go right down the list. You know, we talk about Knight, Spencer Knight, the goaltender who played last night. These are American players who played American college hockey this year, and more and more and more and more every single year. So this is going to hurt that, because it hurts their development, because when they don't, like, they can have the best time. I mean, we lost Carson Bantle. Carson Bantle was in tears in my office, and we lost Carson Bantle to Wisconsin. For what reason? You know, for what reason? Other than the opportunity was to go to another school. Now, Bemidji didn't have a problem with Wisconsin this year in the national tournament. It's not a competitive level. It's a perception level. It's an agent level. It's a, you know, it's, so no, it's not healthy. I know in football, you know, we have to keep up with Alabama. We have to, I mean, it's a two-person race in football. It's Alabama and Clemson. We have to keep up with them. How do you keep up with them? They're getting good recruits, so you're going to build off of other programs and take off of other programs. You know what I mean? And however it happens, an agent calls, another player calls, a friend calls, whatever it happens. However, these kids know where they're going before they go. Now, the basis they use for it is that it's for the athlete's experience. It's for the athlete's experience. There's going to be 300 hockey players this year that were on Division I teams that had a chance to play. It was a race to get in the portal because I'm going to get something better. Everybody's going to want me. Well, about 340 kids went in the portal, 330 kids. The top 30 kids found places to play, like a Tyrone Bronte, like they say. Now, Tyrone's a different situation because their team folded. But they go in the portal. The top players found a place to play. The top players, Carson Bantle, found a place to play. Had no problem. Done before, done after, doesn't matter. However it happened, it doesn't matter. I think it was done the right way in this regards. But a lot of it's not done the right way. And so 300 kids don't have a place to play that had a place to play. Now, an emphasis here, the biggest pressure I feel here, there's three pressures I feel here. One is they want to have a good program. They want to compete. Number two is they want their athletes graduating. Joe, make sure your athletes are on top of it. Make sure they're graduating. And don't do a good job recruiting. You're not cutting players. So now it's easy for me to say, hey, listen, these players aren't showing loyalty to us. Our top players leave. These players that we're trying to develop don't leave. I'm just giving an example that any school could use. There's not going to be no loyalty either way. No loyalty for players to stay. Coaches got to keep their jobs. They're going to be cutting guys, which before schools had an ethical responsibility that they held integrity to, not to cut guys. Only the top end schools would cut guys. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now everybody's going to do it. There's going to be 300 kids that had a place to play that have no place to play. You know, I don't know about football. I don't know about basketball. I'm hearing the same complaints in football for what I told. There's complaints in basketball. I don't know the dynamic of it. But it's not a healthy environment. And the biggest thing for me, it's going to limit the development of players, because you don't develop if you're shortcutting to try to play for stats and things like that. You don't develop. And if you at some point in the year, you say, I'm getting out of here next year, whether it be October, November, December, whenever it is, you've lost. Now you're playing for a different purpose. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't help your development. And if the grass is always greener, you know, it'll change, because in the major junior level, you can't do that. You can't go from team to team. So our competition, the CHL, the Canadian Hockey League, our competition, you have to trade. You can't just walk to a different team. So they're maintaining that development model. Hey, you either get better here or you don't get better at all. You know what I mean? We've opened up something that is a we haven't. It's opened up a bad thing, and the guys they use it. People always use the guys. It's for the people. It's for the people. Well, really look at who benefits from it, and the same top end is going to be the biggest benefactors. There hasn't been a kid on the portal since Huntsville announced 3 weeks ago, and before that, there hadn't been a kid because it's like, I better put my brakes on. I am going to end up with no place to play. Mm-hmm. So, the top players will find a place. And they'll fill up with that, and the other teams will pick up, use their recruits, and pick and choose from that. It's not a healthy thing, in my opinion.
And how quickly could something like that be reversed? I mean, where they take this away, is it something that would?
I don't know if they can take it away. I don't know now. I mean, they've gone down a road with all kinds of different legislation. That, I mean, I don't know if they're protecting themselves from litigation. I don't know what's going on, but. Again, I think every component of it, when you're trying to build a complete individual, and there, another one of their arguments is, well, coaches can leave. No, coaches can't leave. Coaches have in their contract, you know, they have a duration of their contract that they have to honor their contract, and schools put in buyouts and all that type of thing. So, I get it, but it's not like these players, when they're getting scholarships and things like that, aren't getting what they should get. You know what I mean? They aren't getting what they agreed to initially. I think at the very least, they should put a thing, and I brought this up on a national call, they should put a thing in the NLI structure of it that where you can say to a young man, okay, listen, we're making this commitment to you because this is how we operate, but you're going to sign, if you want to come to us, you're going to sign on this NLI that you're waiving your ability to transfer. We're committing to you. You're waiving your ability to transfer, and if you won't sign that, then we'll make a decision whether we want to take a risk on you or not. We'll take that risk. Now, whether they'll do that or not, but I got a lot of comments offline on that saying, "Joe, great idea. You're absolutely right on that. There should be something in place where there's a great the National Development Program." I don't know if it's still there, but they didn't want to lose their players to the Canadian Hockey League, to the OHL and the Western League and things. So they put in a $50,000 bounty. If you went there, you had to sign a piece of paper that if you left the program before your 2 years was up, left and went major junior, it was costing you $50,000. Now, the major junior team would pay that, but that's a stiff, $50,000 is a stiff deal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they put that in there, so use that as a precedence if you need to.
All good stuff, Joe. We just have about a minute or two. I wanted to get your comments on a couple of things. First of all, a guy that did it right his whole career and still doing it right, Tanner Carroll, signs another contract.
Incredible. I texted him last week. He's so happy for he's happy for his family that they have stability. Unbelievable man. Unbelievable man. Lives the right way, commits the right way, trains the right way. Incredible representative of college hockey and of our community.
Alex Patan and Matty Roy both playing in the IIHF.
Yeah. Matty's an assistant captain there, signed a nice, beautiful contract this year, and Alex got the first goal, I believe, in the tournament. Got the first goal of Italy, scored the first goal in the tournament, and Alex got it. Another great kid. And I still hear from those kids all the time. Mm. Like, it's great to, you know, they send notes, and like when I did my extension, congratulations notes and things, they're, you know, tremendous, tremendous men.
And one other thing, Coach, they made it official on the CCHA website a couple of days ago or last week, the official trophies for the new league or the revamped CCHA, the McNaughton Cup, staying, of course, as the league champion, and then the Mason Cup as the tournament champion.
Yeah, there's history. Again, the league is honoring history. It's a great tribute to Ron Mason. It's a great tribute to Michigan Tech and to the McNaughton Trophy that it has that much respect.
So what's going on behind the scenes these days now for Michigan Tech hockey? What are you guys working on and stuff like that?
Budgets, watching a lot of hockey. Max is doing a great job. Max Fredrickson downloads the games for us, the NHL games. Starts marking them, and then we mark the heck out of them and take what we want out for teaching purposes. And it's amazing how much you see, and it, you know, you think of a player, this will help. This will help Logan Piatela. This will help Nardella. This will help this guy. This will help that guy. And you pull out a whole bunch. You know, I'll tell you a guy who we're going to miss desperately, Tyler Rockwell. You know, going back over all our games, the things that he did, he would go games on end without making a single mistake. off the charts, mm-hmm. off the charts. And the things, and I told Tyler this, I says, I have a whole highlight video of you to show our defensemen on how to take care of the puck, decisions you make. Like his analytics are off the charts because of what he, and that's why he was always a plus player for us, mm-hmm. because he did so many things. I mean, he very seldom got hit because he shielded himself, protected himself, but he very seldom turned the puck over. He was our lowest turnover man. And I mean, so we watch that. We're watching a lot of video now. We're doing a lot of those things, and we're doing things within our game that can help us get better and trying to do recruiting in the best way we can.
Coach, thanks for all the information. We appreciate it. We'll look forward to another update coming up real soon. Enjoy the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, anytime. Always available.
And,
thanks.
Appreciate it. And also, congratulations going out to Calumet's Dean Locus on being named Mr. Hockey in Michigan yesterday or the day before. All right, that's our update here with Head Coach Joe Schoen. Thanks for your questions, and we'll do it again real soon here on Mix 93.